Ivy Nation Sports Talk on a Monday. It's a party. Look who's here. It's three of us. Vince D'Addario, Jesse Stiers, Sean Stiers.
We're back.
The gang is all together for the first time in a long time.
It's true. It's true. A long time. Your fault.
What?
Hey, your fault.
You can't blame me.
Before we really get going here, you know, I finally made some Kansas fans, I think, of Notre Dame people.
Yes!
So
rock chalk, baby!
Yeah, Kansas knocking off BYU Friday night. So I'm going to teach you guys something, okay? Put your hands up like this. Put your hands up like this.
I feel like I'm going to jail.
Put your cup down, Jess. We're going to wave the wheat, okay? Na 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 na. Na, na, that's waving the wheat, baby. That's waving the wheat. That's what you do at the end of a game when things go right. You wave the wheat.
I need one more out of them. I need one more out of them.
That's right.
I need one more. I need him.
Now that one's not as important. That's just spite. The next one's just spite.
Which is more important,
right?
Well, look, to be honest with you, the BYU one wasn't all that important either. Because,
well, I mean, it gave them a loss. I mean,
I get that.
It just solidified that only one team is. Yeah, only one team's getting in now for sure. Though I feel like
that. I mean, it dropped BYU behind Notre Dame. It moved Notre Dame up. So, yeah,
but the Big 12 is still bid stealing at the end of the day.
Correct. They're going to vault everybody and go up and probably get one of those, you know, the automatic buys and all that. But you know, maybe because as of right now, not in my bracket.
TD4ND jumps in. He says, what the heck? I don't know what your what the heck.
He probably came in when we were doing this. So he probably was like, what in the world?
Are you
is
mad
happening?
Because we're waving wheat? Or like, are you mad because Jesse's here? You know, like, what's his. My voice is getting a little raspy, but I've got a little like a.
Are you cheering too hard again for Kansas?
You know, I only stayed up about half the game. I fell asleep.
I figured. That's why I didn't text you.
I tried to stay up for that travesty the night before, and we'll talk about that in rapid fire later on, Vince. But just wore me out once again. I did want to, before we, you know, the object of our show today, we're going to predict the college football playoff rankings. Did want to touch on Jaden Greathouse just briefly because, you know, he had the shoulder thing. He went out for a while in the game on Saturday.
Right.
He did not show up in Notre Dame's injury report today, and nobody asked Marcus Freeman about Jaden Greathouse. Maybe because he wasn't in the injury report. I don't know. I actually did, as I was walking around Notre Dame Stadium to go to Marcus Freeman's press conference, because they hold the press conferences in the stadium, I did actually walk past Jaden Greathouse. It's actually second week in a row that I've walked past Jaden Greathouse as I'm going into the press conference. He looked fine. He was looked like he was carrying a sack lunch in his hand as he was walking around the stadium. So he looked good based on what I saw. And again, he's not in the injury report. So that is nothing but good news.
Everybody looks good carrying.
So you're telling me that this is an insider. Because not everyone else had direct sight of Jaden Greathouse. Like
I'm just saying what I saw. I'm just saying what I saw. It was me and Tyler James walking together around the stadium. Tyler saw the same thing I saw. So TJ
can corroborate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
TJ. Oh, you guys have nicknames for each other.
By the way, good to meet Jim yesterday. And IB subscriber / listener viewer out in Easton, Pennsylvania at the Notre Dame women's basketball game and talked to Scott as well. Second time that I've talked to Scott, another, he has played like a champion today on the Champions Lounge. Actually, and then I don't think I ever mentioned this. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was selling a lamp on Facebook Marketplace.
You mentioned it to me.
Yeah. So she's selling a lamp on Facebook Marketplace, and then she leaves, and she's like, by the way, this guy's going to show up and buy this lamp. Like, oh,
so
great.
She wasn't leave even me. There.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so typical.
Leave
of,
me.
Of
so
wives
we go out.
In general, not yours. Yeah.
Right. So we go out in the garage, and, you know, we're the guy's here, and we're doing the once-over on the lamp, and he's like, are you Sean Stiers? And he turned out to be another IB guy. So all kinds of IB guys popping up.
Nice. Love it.
Yes.
Love it. I got a bone to pick, though.
Okay.
Watch the women's game because I don't subscribe to ESPN Plus.
You couldn't watch it?
Nope. It was ESPN Plus.
You got to be.
I ain't subscribing to that.
Well, you had the radio.
I did. I listened to some of the radio broadcasts because, obviously. But, you know, I like to do the video and the radio broadcast over the top, you know. But I was not given that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, Lafayette.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think you have to be, you know, maybe satisfied that you get it on ESPN Plus when you're at Lafayette.
I guess. Well, depending on where Dylan goes, I might be an ESPN Plus subscriber here real soon. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, okay. There you go. You might have to get that $10 a month or whatever.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to see. Probably just during football season, but you know.
Appreciate the nice words there, Brett. He says, nice job, but your voice sounds different, so different in the radio that he didn't recognize it. I don't know. Does it sound a lot different to you, Vince? Can you tell? Or like, because we know each other.
I know Sean Steyer's with my eyes closed. So yeah.
There have been times, you know, because some of the commercials that I cut for the radio station still air from time to time. And there have been times where like a commercial will start and it takes me 10 seconds or so to realize that it's my own voice coming back at me.
That I will say, when it's your own voice, it's odd. Like you cut way more commercials than I have. But when I hear something that I've done like on the radio or on a podcast or something, or hear my own voice, it's very disconcerting and I don't recognize it at first. So I'll give
Brett
you that.
Said he didn't realize it till I gave my name, and TD4ND says it does sound different. Well,
because it's probably just the acoustics.
Yeah, yes. Quality's gonna be a little
gym
bit
acoustics,
different.
You kind of feel like you're further away in the crowd. This is very up direct in your face.
Different kind of, you know, different microphones, right, and obviously, you know, like, and if you're actually listening on the radio versus online, it's going to sound different there too.
True,
know, it's coming out at you with frequency and all that different kind of stuff. So, all right, well, thanks for listening. In any case, great weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Hannah Hidalgo named ACC Player of the Week today,
of course,
and Kate Koval named Freshman of the Week.
I have a feeling there's more to come. Man. More to come for both of those.
Is that 19 rebounds?
Koval had 19 rebounds yesterday. It was like,
that's going to work.
You might as well have been Vince playing against a bunch of fifth graders at times. You know,
give me that.
Get out of here. Swatting it. Seven blocks.
Board lady gets paid.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, just dominant. I mean, because she had 16 rebounds the game before that, it seemed like a lot. But she, in two games, she had 35 rebounds and 13 block shots against James Madison and Lafayette.
I hope that continues in ACC play. I mean, obviously, it's going to drop off a bit, but
hope it continues this weekend when we go to USC.
Yeah, good call. That's going to be a big
team
one
in the country. So, yeah,
that one's not going to be on ESPN Plus.
I would actually be on NBC.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier this week, they did you so dirty by not having that synced up with the football trip. So you could
hit it. Yeah, that's messed up. Remember way back when it was synced up? Because I remember you going out there for both. I remember it being synced up. It used to be.
At least three different times.
Yeah.
I went out there.
Which really stretches 6 year span because it's, you know, home and home.
Yeah.
Part of the agreement.
Three times 6 years. Cause they would do a home and home. They were doing a home and home deal just like football did. And the women would play their basketball game on Friday night. And then we would stay over and go to the football game the next day. So it was really cool. Now, a couple of different things. One, Notre Dame women were going to the Cayman Islands for Thanksgiving weekend. I know it's I know it's a rough life, but so I don't know, like was that the priority for Notre Dame, or, you know, because there's actually originally this Notre Dame USC women's basketball game, the way it kind of happened was obviously this weekend Notre Dame Army is the Shamrock Series football game, and it's kicking off at 7 o'clock. And the last couple of years prior to this year, women's basketball was doing this Shamrock City Classic. We played in St. Louis 2 years ago. We played in Washington, D.C. last year. They were trying to get USC to play this basketball game in Brooklyn the same day as the football game. And it would have been, the timing would have been exactly the same thing, because this basketball game is going to kind of be the lead in to NBC's, you know, football coverage that night. And so what they wanted to do was do the Shamrock City Classic at the, what is it? The Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Nice.
And then I believe we would have done the same thing. Like we would have went from Brooklyn and then went to the Bronx, and the, you know, the basketball team would have been able to stay and watch the game and all that kind of stuff. But USC went to Paris this year. So long trip to Paris, and they're also playing at UConn this year. So apparently they didn't want all that Eastern travel, you know, so they were like, well, what if we just do a home and home? So Notre Dame's going to LA, and then they're coming here next year.
Probably shouldn't have joined the Big Ten if you didn't want all that travel, but whatever.
Well, it's not the women's basketball
decision. I'm aware.
Yeah.
Very aware.
Exactly. So that's kind of how that happened. All right. Before we do our projections, I want to tell you about my bookie, the one sports book that's got your back with no fluff, no second guessing, just straight up action. At MyBookie, it's never been about guessing. It's about giving you the edge so every bet you place comes with confidence and a plan. If you know football, any other sport for that matter, and you love to win, then MyBookie was made for you. And if you're new, just step up and use our promo code Irish. It'll double your bankroll with 100% deposit bonus right from the jump. That's more money, more power to make more winning plays. Bet anything, anytime, from anywhere with MyBookie, the sportsbook that gives you control and rewards for every moment of play.
I was telling you guys about my bad beat this weekend using the parlay on MyBookie. I had Notre Dame covering, I had Kansas covering, and then I had who was BYU playing? Or no.
Kansas.
I think it was San Jose State. No, San Jose State was playing Boise State.
Yeah.
And I had San Jose State covering 14.5, and they were tied at halftime. And they literally threw a pick six to lose by 21 with like 30 seconds left. And that was my bad beat of the weekend, very sadly.
Well, I had bad beats all the way around.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Vince, have you made a bet since your big win recently?
Yeah, I made one on the weekend, this past weekend. And as soon as Jaden Greathouse went down, that one was done, unfortunately.
Because he was part
of the parlay, and he only needed like 40 yards. But when you have one catch for, I think, 17, and you go down with a shoulder, I stopped paying attention. So that's kind of where that one went. And then, of course, I mean, there were other reasons I would not have won that particular parlay. I think,
but that's
what
you blame it on.
Yeah, that was the first one to hit the dust, right? So Riley Leonard needed to score a touchdown. Obviously, that did not happen. And then they didn't cover because of the bad beat touchdown at the end. So, but like I said, by the time that happened, it didn't even hurt because it was already done. You know what I mean? So.
So wait, you got in at 21.5?
It was, I think, 22.5.
That's why I avoided it. I was like, I feel like 3 touchdowns is good, but anything above it, I'm not messing with.
We felt pretty good.
I felt pretty good about 22.5. I'll be honest with you. And when they were
up 22.5, we said on the countdown show was what we were most confident in. And then
Yeah, I felt real confident at that point. It was 35-0. I was like, okay, even if they get a garbage touchdown at the end, doesn't even matter. They got the 7. It was like, okay. And then, of course, that last 18 seconds of the game happened. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That wasn't what broke my parlay, so it's all good. What broke my parlay was Great House's broken shoulder, so... Yeah, it is what
he didn't break his shoulder. He didn't break his shoulder.
I know. I'm sorry. If you're just tuning in, he's not on the injury report. He's fine.
Scare people half to death there. We started off the show talking about Great House and the fact that he's okay.
Someone's going to clip you and you're going to be going around.
Man, Vince just scaring people left and right. Andre's not a fan of us doing this show, it looks like. He says, as much as I might care about the 12-team playoff and where Notre Dame may be, in turn, all I care about is Notre Dame keeps winning, and when the final rankings come out, I'll worry about it.
Oh, Andre,
that's good fun.
Yeah, that's a macro look, and I love it. That's absolutely true. That should be your focus. But this is not a macro show. This is a micro show. We do one every day. And this is fun stuff to talk about.
What about the friends we made along the way? Come on, Andre. I mean...
You and your song lyrics. I don't even know what song that was.
I don't think that was a song. That was just
Listen,
everyone, just from now on, come to the Monday show with your own filled out bracket. We'll do our brackets and we'll see how we all line up.
I am curious to see what this looks like. I don't think we're I don't know. We did these 1 through 14, and then Vince felt like he needed to be, you know.
The one time he ever did extra credit ever.
I know. Like, I'm going to impress the teacher today. Yes. I'm going to do mine 1 through 15.
Do as I say, not as I do. That's why my kids all have good grades and I didn't. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So Vince went 1 through 15.
I did.
I went 1 through 14. Jesse, did you go 1 through 14?
Yes, I did.
It was too late for me to look up a 15th team. So
you couldn't come up with another team. Look, I'll be honest. Anyone.
It might be Texas A&M. Texas A&M would probably be somewhere.
That's why I went to 15. So because it's Texas A&M.
Okay,
that's all why I went to 15.
You wanted to impress everybody, and you're like,
you know what? When I originally went, I went to 16 because I wanted to see where a certain team would fall.
Okay. So just a reminder for everyone, 12 teams make the playoff. The 5 highest ranked conference champions get in, plus the next 7. It is the 4 highest ranked champions that get the byes. So there are 5 automatic bids, but 4 byes that go to those 4 highest rated conference champions. But the 5 highest rated conference champs do get in. And then they seed them. The schools seeded 5 through 8 will host, of course, 9 through 12, the 9 through 12 teams in the first round. So I thought we would start with this. Let's start at the bottom, because I think that that's where we're going to have more potential, you know, discrepancies between what we've got. We don't know what each other's rankings look like. So, Vince, you've already said your number 15 team is Texas A&M. Jesse, do you have a number 15 team? Is it Texas A&M?
It's Texas A&M.
Okay. Who are your teams 13 and 14, Jesse?
Tennessee is 13. SMU is 14.
Okay. All right. Good. So, we've already got some differences based on what you're given right there at 13 and 14. Vince, who are your 13 and 14?
BYU is 13, SMU is 14.
Okay. I've got BYU at 14, SMU at 13. Even though you can obviously beat SMU. I was getting ready to say, you can make a case. Now, how long ago was that? And how has BYU been playing more recently? Versus how SMU has been playing more recently? I've got SMU at least beat a ranked Pittsburgh team at the time. Like, what team has BYU beaten within the last month that's even, you know, of that supposed quality? Look, The committee, well, we've talked about this before, the committee completely disregarded Michigan-Michigan State a few years back and put the team that lost, Michigan, ahead of Michigan State. So
I forgot about that.
I get it. I'm still sticking with, I think SMU right now is a little bit better. And we're talking about one spot, basically.
And they're, yeah, well, yeah, it's one spot at the present. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So, Jesse, you said Tennessee was your number 14?
13.
13. Okay. So I gotta write. See, this is going to be interesting because
I have to write this stuff down.
The two loss SEC, man, my voice is just cracking. The two loss SEC teams, I think it's going to be. I'm gonna grab.
Yes, two loss SEC team is where it's going to be very interesting. I've got them all lumped together, FYI. So this one's going to be Sean, and this one's going to be Jesse, and so Sean, your 14 was BYU, your 13 was SMU, right?
Yes.
And then, Jesse, what was your 13, 14? I got to write these down now because I'm never going
to Tennessee, SMU.
Thank you. All right. I'm caught up.
What was yours, Vince?
Hold on. I don't want to have to say this a million times. So I'm writing down the thing here so that we, you know, can all kind of do the same thing together. Okay. So I've got SMU 13, BYU 14. Jesse, your 13 and 14 are who?
Tennessee and SMU.
Okay, and Vince, yours are who?
BYU, SMU. So I flip yours is okay. Just flipped from yours.
Okay, they've each got one loss.
Yep.
Like you said, BYU does have.
But they're down there towards the bottom of the contenders because of their schedule. I mean, you know, right? They're yeah. Right.
Okay, so who's your next? Let's just go. Across the line, who's your number 12 team?
Boise.
Vince has got Boise at number 12. So do I.
Nice.
Jesse, who's your number 12?
BYU.
So Jesse's got BYU a little bit higher. You like BYU. Why do you like BYU?
Yeah. What have you seen that you like?
Your
uniforms are cool. That's it.
I think just by and then again, this isn't the Jesse Stiers ranking. This is how I believe the committee's bracket will come out tomorrow. And I believe the committee still values win loss. Colorado had a very bad loss in Nebraska, and they have two losses compared to BYU's one still. And I still believe that's kind of how the last rankings went. You had a tier of your unbeaten, you had your tier of your one loss, and you had your tiers of two losses, and they're not very commingled per se. So I believe that BYU is still tracking ahead of Colorado as the Big 12 champion, and them being in the 12 should give you kind of indication of where I think that four currently stands as well.
Okay. All right. He backed it up. Let's go to the 11 line then. I've got Tennessee as my number 11. Jesse, who's your 11?
My number 11 is Georgia.
Okay. Vince?
Tennessee.
All right. So Vince this, and I.
Yeah, this starts my block. One. This starts my block of SEC teams, by the way.
Yeah, it pretty much does for me as well. I've got the next three teams, but starting with Tennessee is where I've got the SEC. But this is also because you've got some of these head-to-heads, like how these are placed, I think is going to be really interesting. But you know, like,
and that's going to be the basis of my argument is all these teams head to head are two losses, and that is what I favored here, 9, 10, 11, and who my first team out is.
I did want to drop this in there though from Joe, because you know, like, everyone's been talking about Colorado and the Big 12 and, you know, BYU getting beat by Kansas. How about Arizona State, man? They are charging hard right now. They're probably the hottest team
in the after dumping their coach on the tarmac last year.
And they are hosting BYU this week. So makes for a really interesting matchup. Okay, so my number 10 is Georgia.
So I just want to say this. So based on these rankings and based on the way everything shapes out, we just did Tennessee. You and I just had Tennessee at 11. That's my first team out, by the way.
Tennessee is your first team out?
Yeah, because of the way everything shakes out.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They don't show up in my bracket. Yeah, because they get bumped because of the, you know, because again, the top five, five. I was holding up the wrong amount of fingers. The top five conference champions, highest ranked conference champions, get the automatic bids. And that right. I actually had Tennessee circled because they're going to get bumped from this whole thing, even mm-hmm. though they are at number 11
yeah.
in our exactly. rankings.
Just want to throw that out before we go much further.
Good point. I'm glad you pointed that out. Jesse, did Georgia end up getting bumped from yours in that instance?
No, Georgia is number 10 on my list.
You said they were number 11.
You have them ranked at 11. How are they 10 on your
rank? You just said they were number 11. Did you even double check your bracket, Mr. Math?
Yeah, I got crossed up a little bit. I was giving you my rankings from the bracket and not my like hard list.
Oh, jeez. Here
what,
we go.
What are you even talking about right now?
I had them as my seeds, not my rankings. Sorry.
We brought you on this show because, you know, like you were the one who was getting all fired up about here's my rankings. This
yesterday.
Is what bracket would
it's
look
the
like.
Best part to do. It's fun.
That was my breakfast, was filling out. My wife's like, what are you doing? Eat your cereal.
Okay, so Jesse, is Georgia your number 11 team or your number 10 team?
You're my number 10 team. I'm sorry.
Okay, so who's number 10?
Sorry.
Who's number 10? Who's number 11? Wait, you've got me totally confused.
We're doing rankings, not seedings.
So yeah.
Do you have to go back now and fix
it? I do. Seed it I
first.
Do.
You've got
okay.
to seed it first.
It's under understand.
Rank it first.
Give us 15 through 11.
You've got to rank it 1 through 12, and then you plug it into the bracket, knucklehead.
Yeah, I was plugged into the bracket. This is completely on me. All right. So we'll self-correct here very quickly.
15 is A&M.
Yes.
Continue.
14 is SMU.
Okay.
13 is BYU. 12 is Boise.
Hold it. What?
He was all messed up, Sean. You gotta. You're just gonna have to erase.
Start over again.
With him. That's the problem. You're just gonna have to. God bless America.
So who's your 14 again?
My 14 is SMU.
So that's the same. It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
13.
BYU.
It's like
12.
Boise State.
You have my exact rankings, and you were complaining. Wow. All right.
11.
Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You have my exact rankings. All right, fine.
10 is Georgia.
Yeah, the only discrepancy is mine flip-flopping SMU right. and BYU. So,
God, he made that argument for BYU, too. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, have you ever, Jesse, have you ever heard that thing, you know, measure twice, cut once? Like,
I just got too excited. I was.
You did.
I was into my bracket already.
Very excited.
This is my favorite. Can you tell who Jesse was in group projects?
The manager.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Now we're at 10.
Woohoo.
Of our rankings.
Jesse, who do you rank at number 10?
The Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay. That's who I have at number 10. Vince?
That is also who I have at number 10.
I've got a feeling this is all going to look the same the rest
of the time. It's going to look very similar, but not exactly the same.
Based on how this is going.
Yeah, here we go.
Number 9, show of hands, Ole Miss. All right. So I think that it's going to pretty much go chalk the rest of the way.
I think so, too. You never know.
Number 8, Alabama. Roll Tide, right?
Okay. Yeah, Roll Tide, baby.
Okay. Number 7, Miami.
Yeah. And look, somebody earlier said that they would have had Miami behind all of the SEC teams, and I understand where you're coming from just watching them play. I but get it. Like eyeball test. I yeah. get it. But we're predicting what the committee is going to do. And the committee had them above all of those SEC teams last week. And they're not going to change this 1 week.
Right. The rankings went 0 loss, 1 loss. And then the 2 loss teams came next in that next tier. And Miami. So Miami was ahead of all those teams.
Correct.
So I don't see them dropping Miami down. And Miami did have a bye this week. So, you know, how does that impact things? Excuse me. Who knows? But, yeah, I've got them sitting ahead as well. Okay, so then we've got Notre Dame at number 6, I assume.
Yep. And then the rest is going to be the same as it was, unless somebody changed something.
Just up. Everybody bumped up a couple spots because of the losses, right? Because
1 through 5 is the same as it's going to be from last week.
I think. That's true. So it then
changed.
Indiana at number 5.
Yep.
Penn State at number 4. Texas at number 3. Ohio State at number 2. And Oregon at number 1.
Right.
Yep.
There we go.
All right.
We're all on the same page, which I'm shocked about, by the way.
I am too, because, like, especially with those, the 2-loss SEC teams, I thought we might have a little bit.
Yeah. And it's hard because they all kind of beat each other. You know what I mean? And so
Bama beat Georgia and someone else.
they beat Tennessee.
And then Georgia's 2 losses are Ole Miss and Alabama, so they got to be above them, right?
That's sorry, they beat Tennessee. Arkansas and Georgia beat Tennessee. Excuse me. The problem is, or the way I did it, and I didn't really think too much into it, to be honest with you, is I went and I looked at the way they had them ranked before, and I kept them that way. It was just a matter of where are we going to slot Tennessee. And where are you going to slot BYU? Like, that was the biggest question mark about how you're going to do these rankings. And then everybody else just kind of moved up 2 spots. I mean.
So how differently, you know, like if you were doing it then, like where, like is it mostly Penn State? Like, is that the biggest thing that you would change? Is it mostly Miami? Would you put these SEC teams with 2 losses ahead of Miami or Penn State?
Honestly, I would put these SEC teams ahead of both Miami and Penn State if I was making these rankings myself. Just by watching these teams play, I would take those two, bump them behind that block of SEC teams, but probably still in front of Boise, BYU, SMU, etc. So that's where
low would Penn State go, I guess, is the question.
I would honestly, at this moment in time, right, I would have IU ahead of Penn State, but I would have them right next to each other, but below Tennessee. So that means that they would be 10 and 11 in my rankings. That's where I would have IU and Penn State right now.
So John says that I see Troy, you know, wanting to make some comments.
Troy needs to take a breath, but relax, Troy.
We'll touch on that in a little bit, Troy. I mean, but John would put BYU ahead, BYU and SMU, he says, ahead of all the SEC teams.
Yeah, and they would get both of those teams would get beat by all of those SEC teams.
But this is also what's so puzzling about Penn State being ranked as high as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, you know, why does Penn State deserve to be ranked number 4? But you are giving, you know, so you're giving them a massive benefit of the doubt, but you're not giving BYU or SMU
right
any benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, and then like Boise State is sitting there at number 12. How is Boise State? Now, I realize there's at least a little bit different strength of schedule, but Boise State is basically hanging its hat on a close loss to Oregon, which is all Penn State is doing, with a close loss to Ohio State. So, like, how are they that much different, really, you know, for the rankings to be that far off?
Yeah, having Penn State that high is ridiculous. When you use any metric known to man, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have an undefeated team in the same conference ranked below them. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. It's the same conference. I mean, obviously you could argue that Penn State's had a tougher schedule, but so is pretty much everybody in college football has had a tougher schedule than IU, because I think their strength of schedule is still 100. So that means 33 teams have had an easier schedule and 99 teams have had a harder schedule. So, but they're still in your conference. They're still in the Big Ten. They should be ranked higher than Penn State. Just that simple. To me. And I agree with you that they're not giving any love to those other teams. It feels like they're treating those other teams fairly, in my opinion, but then they're treating Penn State unfairly in a positive way. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't think that they're being unfair to those other teams, because I think they're rating them properly. I just think
those teams are where they should be, but for some reason, exactly. Penn State
is
just getting, because they happen to be in the Big Ten, it feels
right.
Like.
Yes, exactly.
And look, you know, IU is really in the same boat because of who they haven't played. But at the same time, they're undefeated. So at least you can make a case, you know, because look, BYU was right behind them until they finally lost a game.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But it's almost, I guess we'll find out tomorrow what they think of BYU now. But, you know, we've all got them basically falling in that 13-14
game. Yeah. Right. So. And, but they're still the highest ranked Big 12 team at 13.
Right.
So they're still going to get in the bracket.
And now the other part of this is, okay, and we all had Tennessee. So Tennessee, because of, you know, how you have to do this with the conference champions getting the automatic bids, Tennessee, we've all got ranked at number 11. We've got them as the number 4 SEC team, or I guess the number 5 SEC team, because Texas is number 3. But of that group of the 4 SEC teams in there, Tennessee is the lowest of them all. And so because of the fact that the top 5 highest ranked conference champions get in, Boise and the Big 12, you know, as the group of 5, and BYU as the Big 12 would both leapfrog, you know, over Tennessee, right, and get the, you know, get the guaranteed bids basically. And Tennessee would get bumped out of the playoff in that instance.
Yep. Tennessee's first team out.
So I guess the biggest question would be, who would be your 4 and who would be your 12?
Well, I mean, just based on the rankings, you got to go by the rankings, because that you can't play a mythical conference championship. We got to go by the rankings. The highest ranked 4 conference champions are Oregon, Texas, Miami, and Boise State, based on the way.
Okay, I would have Boise in the 4, and BYU would be in that 12-5 game.
Yeah, I've got BYU, Ohio State. Well, basically, we would have BYU, Ohio State in the 5-12.
Yep.
We would have Indiana, Ole Miss in the 7-10. Georgia, Penn State in the, Georgia's 11. Penn State would be 6 in that game. And then the 8-9 game, Notre Dame against Alabama. So Notre Dame in the ranking is 6. But again, because of the fact that you're going to get passed up, you know, in terms of the seedings by a couple of these teams that are going to automatically lock them up, then Notre Dame would get bounced down a spot. So, you know, really, if they want to be the 6, they've got to climb, you know, probably all the way up to 4, you know, in the rankings before it's all said and done. Now, there's really a good chance that that's going to happen, you know, again, because of, like, Texas is going to play Texas A&M, and you know, what's the win that Notre Dame's got to hang its hat on already? It's Texas A&M. So everybody's going to be pulling for Texas A&M. But then, you know, like, there's still a chance for Texas A&M to get into that SEC championship game as well. You know, so there's a lot still in play.
Oh, there's a lot
there. And then obviously the IU Ohio State game. And I mean, that's, you know, coming up this weekend, obviously, but that's going to be so interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, if IU wins, IU is in, but then what happens to Ohio State with 2 losses? How far are they going to fall?
Right.
Down, you know,
it'll break up that Big Ten kind of monopoly at the top. You know what I mean? Like that's basically what this game is going to do. The IU Penn State or Ohio State game, it's going to break up that monopoly of 4 Big Ten teams in the top 5, which is ludicrous anyway. It'll break that up a little bit. You know, one of those teams is going to fall. I don't think they're going to fall out, but they're going to fall. You know what I mean? And then I think at the end of the day, at the end of the season, I think Penn State could fall a spot or 2. But that won't happen until the season's over.
John's pushing for Army as well. What happens when Army gets beat by Notre Dame this weekend, John? Right. Like, are you still putting them in the playoff in that instance?
If Army beats Notre Dame, you got yourself an argument, my friend. But until then, no, because their strength of schedule is awful. I don't know what the number is.
It's so bad. It's beyond bad. There are literally, and I didn't realize this until I looked at it like more closely this week. Like, there are 133 FBS teams, and I think going into last weekend, they were like 138, because there are literally FCS teams, like the like FCS also factors into the strength of schedule. So there are FCS teams with higher strength of schedule than Army has right now.
Their strength of schedule is 132. Only Liberty has a worse strength of schedule.
So it's moved up six spots. It's moved up six spots.
Well, it's I'm just going by in FBS.
Only, well, imagine if Notre Dame wasn't on that schedule.
But again,
right.
The FCS thing factors into it.
Oh, 100%. Well. So they literally have one of the two worst strength of schedules in entire FBS. Sorry, you don't have an argument. Now, if they go out and beat Notre Dame, again, it's in their hands. If they go out and beat Notre Dame and then win their conference, they got a shot. They absolutely have a shot because they'll be undefeated and they'll have quite the resume builder in a win against Notre Dame.
I mean, it'll look good for them, but they've got a lot of ground to make up on Boise State, and that's the problem for
absolutely.
Them. Like, even if they would beat Notre Dame, I just don't think they're going to – I don't think they're going to make that kind of jump. I think that they'll – you know, they might jump up to around 15-ish, something like that, if they were to beat Notre Dame this weekend. But I just – I don't see them – because you've got to be the highest-ranked Group of Five team.
Yeah, right, that you do. You have to be the highest-ranked Group of Five conference champion.
Right.
And so there's a lot to still happen there for Army. Like I said, they would have an argument. I'm not even saying that they would get in if they beat Notre Dame. They would have an argument because they are – they're, you know, they're ranked and all of that. I think they're 24th going into this week, and they were on a bye. So I don't know how much different that's going to look necessarily. You know, they're probably going to still be in the high 20s going up against Notre Dame, who's going to be probably six. You know, if they can beat the number six team in the country, yeah, you got yourself an argument, but I still don't think it's going to be enough.
Corey was asking about Notre Dame's defense. I'm not sure exactly what they said. Maybe they said it during the broadcast or something like that. He asked if Notre Dame is the only FBS team with a top 10 ranking in every defensive category. Here's where they rank.
It's true.
It is.
They're number one. They are number one in pass efficiency defense and turnovers forced. Number three scoring defense, number four red zone defense, number four yards per play allowed, number four first downs allowed, number six yards allowed per game, number six in third down defense, and number seven in interceptions this season. So not bad.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be okay.
Keep turning it up. Keep turning it up. On the other hand, Troy is here, and Troy wants to be Danny Downer today. And Vince, he's asking you why the offense looks so bad on so many possessions. And then he followed that up with the offense is horrible.
Oh,
too many wasted possessions.
Yeah, you're right.
What matter they do to turnovers?
You know, it's tough. Like, when you have an offense that can only muster 450 yards of offense when they're playing horrible, it's really hard. It's hard to win. It's hard to win when you can only get 450 yards of offense. Last time I checked,
200 yards at will.
Yeah. Last time I checked, in the last eight games of the season, Notre Dame is averaging over 42 points a game and giving up 10. So I think they're fine, actually, Troy. And Troy, I think you just need to take a breath, man. Like, did they look like the 2019 LSU on offense on Saturday? No. They did.
I just, you know, and I don't know what you guys think about this. I do feel like the last couple of games, not that they're out there completely experimenting, but like it does feel like there's like some tinkering going on, you know,
100%.
because of who they're playing and you know, the defenses are playing. It feels like they're doing some of that, but then it's like, now, I mean, you know, like making a habit, you know, of doing that and then going, okay, now we've got to flip this switch and, you know, hammer down and all that kind of stuff. But it did feel like a switch flipped a couple of different times, right? You know, both in Florida State and against Virginia, the way things – and, you know, and look at the way the games turned out. Leonard passed for over 200 yards in both games, even though he didn't have his best game.
Right.
And they ended up running for well over 200 yards in both games. They literally, if they wanted to, against Virginia, they could have just come out playing bully ball and running the ball and probably had 160 yards by halftime on the ground, you know. But
yeah, they could have.
That's not the way They decided to do it.
Through three quarters, okay? Three quarters of play, Notre Dame had 411 yards of total offense to Virginia's 223. Okay? 411 through three quarters. What more do you want? I mean, honestly, that's where I'm at. What more do you want? Riley Leonard threw for three touchdowns on Saturday. I mean, yep. Everybody was complaining.
It's actually 25 total touchdowns that he's got. He's got 12 touchdown passes now and 13 touchdown runs.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was complaining he couldn't throw touchdown passes. He could only run them in. And now he throws for three and he doesn't run any in. And all of a sudden the offense is terrible. You know, it's like you can't – there people – like this, and maybe Troy's just having a bad day, and I'll chalk it up to having a bad day. That's fine. But, you know, you're not going to please everybody every time. Like, you're just not. Look, did they have too many three and outs? Yeah. Were they behind the sticks on third down too many times? Yeah. Did they not convert on third down enough for my liking? Yeah. No doubt about it. But at the end of the day, they're up 35-0 when the game mattered. And they had, again, over 400 yards of offense in three quarters. Okay. They took care of business against a mediocre Power Four team, and they're going to continue to do that until the season is over. They're going to be 11-1.
They were up 35-0. They were up 35-0 as well. You know, like saying, "Well, you know, the turnovers did it. Look, are turnovers part of the game?
Yeah,
or not?
Look, Notre Dame's got an elite defense. Why should anybody apologize for that? And you know what? Here's the thing.
But that also gives them the luxury of being able to, you know, like figure some things out offensively, do some of those things on the offensive side of the ball.
Troy says that Notre Dame can't push the ball down the field. Were you not paying attention when they threw a 76-yard touchdown pass to Harrison?
That got called back.
It got called back, yes. But did that have anything to do with the execution of the play?
I'm just saying it got called back, but it didn't count.
So can he throw it down the field? Yes! Watch the game, dude! Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits, and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together, and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
I feel like I'm on the post-game show with Vince right now. Is this what it was like Saturday night?
Gosh, I was off on Saturday night. It was beautiful.
Jesse, did you want to chime in on any of this? You haven't said anything.
Yeah, before I got to, you know, kick it here.
Oh, yeah.
I would say it's already the only thing. Yeah, I kind of – there's one thing that concerns me about Notre Dame's offense, and that's the ability to convert maybe a third and 10 tight pass in a crucial game with a team evenly matched as you. I think every other phase of their offense, their defense – all of that is fine. I think you have to avoid getting behind. I mean, that's every football team, though. You can't – you're not magically just going to get out of third and 10, third and long spots. And I do agree those will become amplified as the opponent becomes more and more, you know, aggressive. I think what it's going to come down to in all these playoff games potentially, and as you make your, you know, your road to the national championship, all those games are going to be played in a Texas A&M-type setting. It's going to be very close. I don't think it's going to be an offense that necessarily gets out 14, 21 points, but they have a defense that won't allow another team to get out 14, 21 points. So you're going to have these kind of slugfests in the trenches, you know, quarters two through three, where it is going to be tight. And yes, Riley Leonard is going to have to make some big throws because you are going to get behind. That's the only thing I'm necessarily concerned about, but Riley Leonard and Jeremiah Love have 13 and 12 rushing touchdowns, respectively. That's 25 combined touchdowns. That is 15 and 16 in all of FBS in terms of rushing touchdowns, and that's 5 and 6 amongst Power Four teams. Like, I think a lot of people just get so uncomfortable with that production can come through the running game. You can run and, you know, instead of passing, but Riley Leonard has to be able to make those throws in the tight situations, in the tight environments, when you need to pick up a first down. And that's the only thing I'm worried about. But everything else, they have one of the most prolific rushing attacks in the country, accompanied with one of the best defenses in the country. That's a recipe that's going to win you a lot of games. And even though it's not sexy, I mean, it's going to win you so many games at the college level. You are controlling the trenches on both sides of the ball. That's just, to me, dominance.
Yep.
So you made up for the fact that you totally jacked up that whole bracket section of the show earlier. Because you basically – that's the things that you just said were basically what I was going to say. You know, like in any of these playoff games, I see most of them probably playing out, as you said, similar to how the Texas A&M game, you know, played out. Can you win a close slugfest? And they've already shown that they could do that in game one on the road in a hostile environment, not even a neutral site environment. Oh, you banned Mason. Okay. At least I've got his comment before you.
I was getting annoyed
because I mean, the SEC is just,
they're just so good. They're so good.
Nobody from the SEC loses to anybody outside the SEC, unless you're LSU, by the way, losing to a horrible USC team in week one of the season. And that was a playoff contender still, LSU, just a couple of weeks ago, right, Mason? I guess Mason can't hear me now because
no, he can hear you. He just can't. He can't say anything about it.
Okay, so he can hear me, but unless he logged out. But
yeah,
come on, man. Like, are you going to, like, have you watched any of these Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, South Carolina, like whoever? Like, yeah, they're good teams. But are you going to tell me that with Notre Dame's defense that those won't be close competitive games? You know, the question is, can Riley Leonard, can he make game-winning plays when he needs to make game-winning plays?
Right.
And, look, you know, in the fourth quarter. And again, he's shown that he can do that.
And I also would love to see Notre Dame's defense against some of the quarterbacks for those teams that you just had up there.
Exactly.
Because I guarantee you.
The
way
they impact the game is completely different.
I guarantee you. They will make some of those quarterbacks look like rookies and not like, I mean, they
look
know
what they did
doing
to Caleb Williams.
I'm sorry. Like, yeah.
And I also kind of think, just watching Leonard in some of these home games this season, like he's, you know, like he kind of lives on, you know, so like some of the vibes, you know, like he's a vibe guy. He thrives on some of that in certain situations. It does feel like there are times when maybe he's a little too amped early in the game, you know, like when you look at kind of like how he's throwing the ball, you know, with some of the accuracy and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, you take him out of Notre Dame Stadium, maybe that ends up being a good thing down the road. You know, like you win that first round playoff game, hopefully at home, and you're going up against some of these other teams in neutral site environments and stuff like that. So, all right, Jess has got a bolt. Appreciate you stopping in today, Jess.
I gave you an hour of my Monday time.
So giving.
I would say 30, only 30 minutes of it was quality because I did mess up my rankings. But on that note, I'm out of here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Later. All right, Troy. We're not going to respond to any more. Like,
yeah, and
like, what do you want from Riley Leonard at this point? Like, do you want him to not win playoff games? Are you just going to bitch about him? You know, like for the next
yes, the answer is yes.
They play a playoff game, and you know, just so you can go, see, I told you so. If it doesn't go your way, you know, once the playoffs start, they're going to be in the playoff if they take care of business these next 2 weeks, and he's pushing. He's getting close to 2,000 passing yards. He has 12 touchdowns. He's only thrown 4 interceptions this season.
And he's the leading rusher. Was the leading rusher. 50
yards and 13 touchdowns. So, you know, again, he's combined for 25 total touchdowns and 4 interceptions this season.
Right.
I don't know what more you want.
Right. At this point. Exactly. And if they wanted to run Riley Leonard, they could have run Riley Leonard on Saturday. They clearly made a decision not to do so. Okay. They clearly made a decision not to do so. There's so many things that they could have done in this game that could have made them more efficient offensively, but I agree with you. I think they are trying out some different things and seeing what's going to kind of work and putting in some different guys in some different situations and seeing how that's going to go. And, you know, there is part of that. And at the end of the day, if they want to run the ball, they run the ball with great efficiency.
Yeah.
Right. Both of their running backs averaged over 7 or 8 yards a carry on Saturday. Like, come on guys. Like this, I'm not saying this offense is elite. The defense is elite.
The defense is elite, and if your offense is good enough, you can win with the kind of elite defense.
Well, and here's the thing. Almost every single turnover that the defense gave the offense, they went down and scored a touchdown. That's called complimentary football right there. It's like, hey, thanks, defense. We're going to go cash this in for you. You know what I mean? Like, there were plenty of times in the past where Notre Dame's defense was still elite, but the offense couldn't capitalize on it. You know, that's what happened seemingly every time Notre Dame went to the playoff in the past. The offense just couldn't do it, right? And the defense could.
And this is the thing, you know, again, like that Mason who is jumping in here, you know, telling us how great the SEC is. I mean, look at any of the teams that are ranked ahead of Notre Dame right now who are going to be in the playoff. Which of those offenses would you say is elite?
Right.
Are any of them that much better than what Notre Dame has? No. Do any of them have as good a defense as Notre Dame has? No. That's why I would put Notre Dame up against anyone in this field.
Me too.
I'm not saying they're going to beat everybody. I'm just saying.
But it's going to be a game.
Be very competitive.
Yes.
Good games.
Yes. Look, the only offense I can even think of off the top of my head that has a quote-unquote close to elite offense, maybe Ole Miss right now. It wasn't like that before, but I think it's starting to turn into that.
And their defense, obviously, you know, again, like,
yeah,
how good is Georgia and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Back with all the turnovers lately, but
I mean, you know, the only way we're going to know and the only way you're going to silence all the haters, and it probably still won't silence all the haters, is when Notre Dame lines up and plays these guys. And so at this point, there's a good chance that there's an SEC team that's going to be coming into South Bend on December 20th or 21st, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll see. We'll see how they handle it. You know, that's the best we're going to be able to tell people. You know, we can give all the analysis that we want, which is most likely correct on a lot of fronts, but some people just aren't going to believe it until they see a final score of Notre Dame beating an SEC team, which they did in SEC country the first game of the season. But people seem to forget that.
Don't let them forget, Vince. People forget. People forget. Vince, are you ready for rapid fire?
Oh, please. Let's yes. I'm so ready right now for rapid fire. Yes.
Who knew it was going to turn into this tonight?
You know, and I don't really mind getting all fired up and heated. I think that, you know, it makes for some good conversation at times. But I will also say that just the delusional aspect of some people it does hurt my heart.
It's just baffling to me that you were winning a game 35-0
and people think that they're terrible
and the sky is falling.
Right.
I just Because that's the other part of this as well, is I know the detractors are like, well, who's Notre Dame playing, you know, winning these games and everything. Well, they're not just squeaking by like the BYUs and the Iowa States and the Miamis and these other teams were just squeaking by against, you know, what is, you know, what was lesser competition. Notre Dame is now dominating all these teams, but all people want to keep falling back on is, oh, you're beating, you know, beating up these supposedly bad teams, even though they're power four teams. And, you know, you lost to Northern Illinois and all this.
Right. Stuff, even, even adding in the Northern Illinois and Texas A&M game, Notre Dame is averaging 38 points a game and they are, which hold on, let me find it here real quick. Scoring offense that, which ranks them 11th in the country. Okay. 11th in the country. And then defensively, the for the whole season, they're giving up 11.4 points a game, which is third in the country. Okay. So that's quite the differential. Okay. That's a 28 point differential. If my math is accurate, right? You're 27 point something. Like that's, they're doing what they need to do and they're doing it in a dominant fashion. That's everybody's argument for IU and why they belong where they are. Cause yes, the strength of schedule is terrible, but they're blowing everybody out. So is Notre Dame, right? Yes. They have the NIU loss. We're not going to forget about that, but they are blowing everybody else out. So it can't be good for that argument. Can't be good for one team and not good for another team. That's what always annoys me when we have all these debates, you know, people just,
That's what you, you do. Know, you cherry pick
the argument.
Cherry pick what makes your argument. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, that's all it is. You know, and I mean, Andrew was saying this is bracketology. It's done every year in basketball. You're right, but again, like the goalposts always move when it comes to football, more so than basketball. I think, like, because again, like, the explanations change week to week. What seems to matter to this committee changes week to week.
Yeah.
And again, like, how do you explain Penn State being ranked as high as they are versus teams with fairly similar resumes being ranked, you know, and I'm talking about Boise State and SMU specifically, and now BYU is going to be in there as well, because we all think that BYU is going to be right there in that same neighborhood as Boise. Like, how is Penn State's, how is anything that Penn State has done that much more appreciably better than anything that SMU, Boise State, and BYU have done? But they're considered the number four team in the country, according to the committee so far. So,
yep. Yep.